Hadi bakalım.
Are we really?
Yes, and yes, and David. There you go.
Sorry, I don't partake.
I had a joke I was going to say, and it was interrupted.
Sorry.
What was your joke, Kyle?
I was going to say I don't partake in the gay.
Oh.
It's not gay anymore. Trump's pro weed now.
I ain't gay no more. I'm cured.
I don't know that they
I like women.
They legalized gay too.
Yeah, right. Oh man.
Well, friends, it's a celebratory day for some. So, congratulations to those of you that celebrate today. Weed was rescheduled, and let's just spin the snoop one more time. Just one more.
Yeah,
time.
Just hit it one more time. It's the motherfucking Deagle Double G. Snoop Dogg! You know,
you know I'm mobbing with the D-R-E. And copyright.
I'll say this.
I don't see if Snoop Dogg has weighed in on this yet.
I'll say this while you're looking that up. 19, 20-year-old Joe would have thought you were full of so much shit if you had told him...
You're full of shit today.
That not only would weed be largely legal across the United States at the state level, but also now rescheduled at the federal level. I just wouldn't have seen that coming from that environment. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. There was some pretty strong signals last year. A Republican and a couple of, introduced a bill to reschedule last year. You know? So real opportunity in the Biden administration. We thought with a Democrat that could happen, but no. Happened with Trump.
Wild pretty moment, crazy.
Man. Yeah. Want to check to see the announcement? How he,
let's watch
he
it.
Actually brought it up. Made his pitch.
Trump was super baked for this, by the way.
And the facts compel the federal government to recognize that marijuana can be legitimate in terms of medical applications when carefully administered in some cases. This may include the use as a substitute for addictive and potentially lethal opioid painkillers. And they cause tremendous problems. This can do it in a much lesser way, can make people feel much better that are living through tremendous pain and problems. 40 states and multiple U.S. territories have already recognized the use of medical marijuana. This reclassification order will make it far easier to conduct marijuana-related medical research, allowing us to study benefits, potential dangers, and future treatments. It's going to have a tremendously positive impact, I believe. We're also asking Congress to reconsider its classification of hemp-derived CBD.
Bobby Kennedy's off camera, just absolutely ripping a doozy right now.
Is it just me? No, mute it real quick, Joe or Kyle.
Yeah,
just look at the right side of the screen, and just there's like little things floating everywhere.
That's just the joint you smoked before we started recording.
Yeah. It's like celebratory toke.
They're hotboxing in the Oval Office.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy. Yeah. So it's descheduled. It's not legal.
It's not descheduled. It's rescheduled. Schedule 3 is what I understand.
Yeah. So it's gone from no medical benefit, no reason to ever, ever, ever do it.
To some medical benefit.
Medical benefit.
Which is so
strange.
So
it's
so
like the Epstein files. Which,
oh my God. Well said. Well said. Trump's like, no, we're never going to do it. Actually, it might be okay. Actually, it's fine. Just let it out. Yep. That's...
No, it doesn't exist. And then it's like, oh, yeah. No, it does exist.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting juxtaposition given what just happened with hemp in Congress.
Yes.
Right? So this is obviously an executive action to reschedule it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a legislative action, so there's the difference there. But just very interesting contrasting signals coming from the government regarding cannabis right now.
Oh, I mean, whenever you have separation of powers, you're going to get counter signals, right? I mean, Congress has their incentives and the people they're trying to appease. Trump has his, right? And it's an open question. Like, is this a good political move? Is it a good policy move? A lot of debate, I think, we're going to be coming our way.
A lot of big questions. Is Trump seeing his poll numbers with young people and going, God, I got to do something?
Yeah.
Like, well, give him the weed.
Well, we were told today by a trusted friend that Gen Alpha thinks weed is gay. So,
which trusted friend is that?
Do we? No, we're not going to name it.
Is that Kyle?
Well, I also think weed is. But I also think Kyle rescheduling agrees. Is correct.
Okay, right. Fair.
So you want to legalize the gay?
I'm just not a fan of weed. I'm not a partaker of weed.
Gay.
And I kind of think it leads to some gayness. You know.
You're of the opinion that it doesn't matter what goes on in one's living room, or basement, or bedroom. So, it should be legal, but you don't want to.
If you want to smoke it in your own home, you can smoke it in your own home. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of weed. I think it's kind of overused and overhyped. But I think the medical benefits and people using it recreational is fine to me. Like, yeah. I don't think it's a big deal.
Should pregnant women not smoke it?
Will yeah.
it lead to gay babies? The way Tylenol leads to Down syndrome. Yeah.
To be specific, I'm not a huge fan of weed culture. I think it's kind of like, fair. I don't know, it's kind of like, but if you use it, fine.
Don't watch a Cheech and Chong movie and just have a great time? Or a Dave Chappelle movie and just have
Harold
a great time?
Harold and Kumar?
Yeah.
I like me some Dave Chappelle.
That's weed culture, Kyle.
Yeah,
please. Like every movie he has weed in it, and it's all does a lot about weed. You
half
know?
Baked.
It's true.
Yeah.
But that being said, there is a decline of weed being used by young people right now, is my understanding.
All substances, that, yeah, I believe.
Yeah, just alcohol, substances in definitely. General, like drugs in general.
They get their drugs online.
I know it's like hyped at millennials and everybody's like, well, let's not do what the millennials did anymore.
There's like
a lot of that.
Well, to be fair, we've had to live through a global financial crisis and a pandemic.
25 years of terror war.
Yeah. So
that's my problem with weed right there is I think it's overused as a coping mechanism for people. And I think that's psychologically unhealthy.
And to be that's fair, Kyle feels the same way about alcohol. I can tell because he never drinks alcohol anymore. So.
I've
largely cut alcohol out of my life over the last year.
I'm proud of you. Yeah. I mean, I've frankly did the same with weed so long ago. I can't even remember, you know, when that was a regular part of my life. It's been forever. And I don't disagree with you. I think that there's a lot of drawbacks to it culturally, physiologically, but it's none of my business what you do to yourself.
I think there's use for...
And there is good therapeutic benefit, yeah, I would say, for the right demographic.
And I think the psychedelic drugs in general, I think that there's use cases for them medicinally, individually, religiously, those types of... I think there are use cases for them. I think there's just a lot of like... Weed's not going to ruin your life, man. Like, you just have as much as you want. Just take a bowl. Like, I think there's a lot of that where it's just like, ugh, like it's like an eye roll.
I don't see how people even get there. Like, how can you be ambitious and be a regular user?
I don't think most people can.
Yeah. Some people can.
Yeah. I think some people are very ambitious. I mean, particularly within the cannabis industry, because there's obviously a lot of money to be made.
Yes.
And a lot of those people will partake, but many don't too.
No, to be clear, I'm giving you my perspective about how it feels to me.
Yeah.
I know people who use weed regularly and are perfectly successful individuals who have a great life, and I'm jealous of their great life, right? I have no problem saying they do well. So, but I just don't understand it. Like, you know, like anytime you've been around it, it's literally when I was young and I did it, it was like, I'm asleep. You know, how do you do anything? You know, I don't understand it, but you know, there it is.
Well, some people can stay standing while taking fentanyl, and I don't know how they do that either.
Yeah, right.
So,
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, they may be folded in half, but they're still on their feet, which is seems to defy physics.
Yeah, the Portland zombie walk.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The Seattle zombie walk, too, unfortunately.
Any major city on the zombie walk?
Yes. The Fenty fold, I believe it's referred to.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm serious. That's real.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, weed is not... You know, it's not something that's going to kill you like fentanyl or anything like that. Like, there's a lot, all that, like... old school
reefer
narrative
madness.
Around that, like that's all BS, right? I'm not saying that it's like, you know.
Yeah, there have been news reports of fentanyl winding up in the black market weed supply, and so at least one of the arguments for this that I haven't seen anyone make is that this will make weed procurement far more safe as it comes into a white business and into the clear market.
It can be studied.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a racial issue.
I said that and I was like, he's going to make a racial joke. What I mean is opposed to the black market where it's run by criminals,
I think that's accountable corporations. That's evidence of systemic racism. The black market is bad. The white market is good. I think we need to change the narrative.
Shadow market then? Is that
linguistics
what
are
still dark, David. But, now you're just implicating brown people.
Shadows are derogatory against... I think shadows are derogatory against tall people because they cast larger shadows.
Oh,
wow.
Well, well said.
All right. The legal market and the illegal market. So, okay. So anyways, I do think that's one point that I think is substantial. I mean, if one of the policies of the government is to reduce fentanyl deaths, legalizing or not legalizing, but rescheduling marijuana is a good step to do that because more corporations will be carrying that and have better practices on keeping them separated from opioid products. Yeah.
I think there's two ways to look at that. One, I do agree with you, and I think Trump is signaling that with his statement here, talking about how opioids are so dangerous. I wonder if this is a part of his larger battle against this opioid infiltration into the United States. I think the other side of it is that there are plenty of people within the cannabis industry who feel very concerned about this rescheduling because of the way it's going to corporatize the industry, flood the industry with billions and billions of dollars, edge out small players, et cetera. Yeah, yeah. I would love to know more about those perspectives because I don't know a ton. And I know we have some members of the Discord who are in that industry. I would love to reach out to them. You know who you are, listeners of the show, and get some more information on this so we can speak more educated to that specific piece. Because I think that is an interesting topic that could be a double-edged sword for people who you might think would really celebrate this move.
Mm-hmm. I know a guy who has a weed operation, and I got to talk to him about it. Basically, what he told me was this is going to be huge on making weed more affordable to compete with the cartels, because that's his biggest problem. His biggest problem is driving the price down because he's taxed and the cartels aren't,
right,
to be more competitive. So his biggest competitor is the black market.
Right.
So he wants to have this opportunity, and then it'll help him drive into the clear market when it comes to banking potentially, mm-hmm, and other kind of applications that allow them to have smoother business.
Right. Because this has been the biggest impediment to cannabis operations being able to bank federally, right? Like, banks won't touch cannabis businesses. They're largely cash. There's a lot of crime that goes on around that because they have to carry these massive amounts of cash, right?
Mm-hmm. Operation Choke Point during the Obama administration was specifically squeezing out, taking out the choke points of cash flow of the weed industry, mm-hmm, and the gun industry largely too.
Yeah. Interesting.
Especially of a president where we have literally a picture of him smoking a joint.
Oh, Barack under Obama. When Operation Choke Point happened.
That, right? I mean, like, it's Democrats, how do you live with yourselves? I don't know. How do you not, that just pissed every day about that. You elected a little pothead, and then he ran that operation. It's like, what the fuck?
But remember the drama that Kamala Harris got into also? I think it was on Charlemagne the God's show where we're talking about smoking weed, but mm-hmm, there was a bunch of drama about that during
the campaign. Well, then she put away all these people for petty drug.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And that's another win in this. People go into prison for petty drug possession, stuff like that. Hopefully this can reduce some of that, right? Because if you reduce the total black market transactions, you reduce the movement of the black market drugs, you have a better opportunity for people not to get caught in those sorts of situations. Then we don't have to pay to incarcerate, you know, drug people who had some weed on them, which I'm not really interested in doing. Like, it's just not that interesting.
Well, definitely not. I would rather cannabis corporations get rich than private prison corporations, you know? Sell a product. Don't turn humans into slaves.
Mm.
Yeah.
How dare you?
It's a radical position.
I know. There, super hot take.
Ooh, watch out.
Super
watch
hot
out. Take. He's coming at you. So he had a little part of the press conference. He talked about the research around cannabis and kind of part of the science. He had some doctors and scientists talk about it.
President, I never really thought this day would come. I met a patient about 20 years ago, a retired professor named Elizabeth, who came to my clinic. She was dying of pancreatic cancer, and she asked me then whether cannabis might help her. And I said no, because that's what I learned in medical school. She reached into her briefcase, took out a 3-inch tall stack of articles, put them down on my desk, and said, "Really, doctor? You should read these. You might learn something." And I did read those articles, every single one, and found a bunch more. And I did learn something. I learned that there actually is some medical benefit to cannabis that I had not anticipated, never heard about in medical school. Second, I learned that there's a lot we don't know. And third, I learned it's really, really, really difficult to do high quality randomized controlled trials of a substance that's federally illegal. This rescheduling has the potential to change all of that and to rewrite the way that we do research related to cannabis in the United States in three ways. First of all, it'll democratize the research process so that all academic institutions can participate in research, not just elite academic medical centers. Number two, it'll give patients and researchers access to highly refined, reliable sources of cannabis rather than relying on one or two sources around the country. And last but not least, it'll let us do the sorts of large-scale randomized controlled trials that we do in oncology and cardiology, not dozens of patients, but hundreds or thousands of patients. That's how we learn. That's how we produce valuable knowledge that's useful in guiding treatment decisions. Mr. President, without you, this never would have been possible. And my patients and I and all of our families are grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wilbush.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff that I'm interested in seeing with the rescheduling, is because there's a lot of like quackery that goes on around drug, like various different drugs. And because nobody can like legally study it, all that quackery just keeps going on. And now we can actually have like real studies that go into these things and see benefits and negatives on all of these things.
And it has the most important, it gives the opportunity for actual science. So the challenge is that he's articulating is when you have something in Schedule 3, you have to have very specific certifications from the government in order to study that thing and get permission from the government to study it. And so that constrains the amount of people who can do it. So then you don't get replication. And if you don't get replication, you don't have real science. So more universities be able to do that. And I hope that they look at other drugs similarly to enable a broader range of research into them. Specifically, in the marijuana one is big for the veteran community. Notice that the two guys with the Legion vet hats on there. You know, I know a lot of veterans who use marijuana to manage their anxiety and their pain. And the idea that you would take an 18-year-old kid, give them a gun, send them overseas for years, serving multiple deployments, and come back and be like, well, good luck, here's an opioid, right? This is the best we can do for you. Or a synthetic THC product from a pharmaceutical company, and say, this is the best we can do. Oh, no, you can't smoke that plant, but you can do this.
Oh, it'll make you vomit, but yeah. Good luck.
Welcome to the land of the free.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of stuff is like, that's enraging to me.
Yeah.
Right. And having better understanding of, and then the additional for the research is the trade-offs. Like, what are the people who really should avoid this?
Right.
Better research can help us understand that.
Yes.
We know if you have a history of alcohol abuse in your family that you probably shouldn't consume alcohol, right? We can, there are some things that you could do genetically to discover that and then, you know, use that to guide in your life. Psychological profiles for cannabis could do similar things that could be beneficial to people.
Yeah. Also, to that point, we know that cannabis is the tip of the spear of studying other potentially beneficial compounds that are, you know, still to this day Schedule 1 that are not allowed. And I'm talking about ibogaine, which I know has come on the scene more recently, I think, in the Western zeitgeist for treatment for soldiers returning from combat.
I don't know anything about it.
There's a fascinating documentary online somewhere. I want to say it might be Amazon Prime, about this very thing. There's all sorts of other benefits with MDMA, with psilocybin, with, you know, ibogaine, there's many, many that are very interesting from a research standpoint that could have potential extreme benefits for individuals struggling with PTSD, depression, anxiety that we can't study effectively because they're prohibited. So hopefully this kind of opens the door for the other ones to be studied.
It seems too. Like there's a big push, particularly that I'm aware of, on MDMA therapy and psilocybin therapy, particularly coming out of the veteran communities is what I see. You see people like Sean Ryan on his show with vets talking about that a lot and bringing that forward and kind of lobbying for that.
Rick Perry Rogan talking about it, and Rick Perry, former governor of Texas.
That's correct.
Yep. Very anti-drug when he, like, early on, but then he started helping out with ibogaine and it helping veterans get over their PTSD.
And I think that's the balancing act that people are kind of striving, and people in my position, we were all kind of making fun of me for being kind of quote unquote anti-weed or whatever. But I think that there's kind of a balancing act there are strong use cases for these things. But then there's the side of it where it's just like, a lot of people abuse it too, but it's the same thing with alcohol. Like, you know, it's useful for social functioning and things like that. It's useful, but then a lot of people also abuse it too. And there's the balancing act that, unfortunately, many individuals struggle with that balancing act in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's ultimately, like almost all political issues, comes down to your faith in experts or your faith in people. And whether or not everyday people can learn how to navigate the challenges of their life, including the substances that they consume, or do you trust experts to have to tell them, and then you have to pay the collateral consequences of those experts and the legalization and how illegal it is in the incarceration system and in all the
market of this?
Yes, how black the market is.
Well, in a lot of the reasons that the cannabis industry is where it's been is the result of a lot of historical lobbying of competitive industries mm-hmm. like tobacco and alcohol and such, and frankly, actually, like real racism that was happening like a century ago, where they're like, "That's the black people drug." Yes. You know, like there was a lot of that stuff that blacks was going on. That is the reason it's the black market.
But that's you're right. You're not wrong.
That is the reason why cannabis has been so largely villainized for so many decades, was because of that.
And to attack very specifically Vietnam anti-war protesters, mm-hmm. right? To have a precursor stuff, yeah. to shut down their speech using drug law. Sagar agrees with you, but he says that this is for the cannabis lobby.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that online. A lot of just
not the video, just the tweet there.
Trump is framing his weed rescheduling as a medical marijuana move. His own admin on a call today I've reviewed admitted that medical marijuana evidence is fake and was forced to acknowledge the massive tax break he just gave his big weed donors. So it's more about tax breaks to certain people is kind of the argument. I've been seeing a lot of that online too.
Not big weed stealing our democracy.
We've got another big to worry about.
Canada?
Nobody worries about Canada.
Oh my god.
Big cannabis.
But weren't like a bunch of the major cannabis companies based in Canada because they legalized it first?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
A lot of them have been waiting in the wings for this to happen, and their stocks in the US move wildly as the rumors swirl around these
Should've
things
held
happening
on to my
or not happening.
Chronos.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think do your own research, not financial advice.
I do know people who made millions off of weed stocks when Canada legalized.
For like, sure. For sure.
You got that
very
track.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a whenever anything gets legalized, and this isn't legalization, once again, it's just medicalization, but whenever it's opened up to more market participants, there's going to be bigger money coming in. There's going to be market dynamics to that. I'm very curious how it's going to play out.
Market cap of the entire industry is going to grow exponentially because of this. But America? Yeah.
You can't use alcohol as an example, because when they legalized alcohol at the end of Prohibition, they established a bunch of laws that cartelized the alcohol industry. Three-tier system was put in place in order to prevent monopolies, but actually created monopolies. Of course, that's the government. That's what they do. So as long as they don't put in something like that, I would anticipate we're going to see a lot of bottom-up investment too. Oh, yeah. Would be my guess. But that's my prediction. We'll see.
There's going to be so much investment into it, 100%. Yeah. It would be crazy to think otherwise, I think. Market cap of weed stocks is going to be so high. Mm-hmm.
I think there's still a lot of uncertainty, right? Because this is just opening the door. I think there has to be that regulatory layer in order for this to work, especially if this is a move in favor of the weed lobby. Now they're going to be sending dollars at the White House and at their legislators and at whomever to write the rules around what this looks like, mm-hmm. because we know that's just the nature of government. As soon as something opens up, they have to say, well, we have to protect you from it, just like AI or whatever it is. There has to be a regulatory framework, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would anticipate that you're going to see a lot of agencies then put out new guidance around weed businesses, circled around just medical. They won't. To be honest, if you're a 10th Amendment guy or a nullification guy, this is a huge win for you, right? Because it demonstrates that the nullification of federal laws to all these states that have done medical has now embodied in the federal government finally coming along. And then second, if you have a legal market there, it's going to allow people to be able to sell to both markets. That will be a difficult regulatory question, but they're not. Most of those regulations already are hosted at the state level. Some states are very cartelized, though, the way they wrote it. They put in lots of certifications and all kinds of things that make it difficult to start your own weed business. So those are difficult market dynamics that people have already negotiated.
Yeah.
So I don't anticipate there'll be a huge, I imagine investment will go up and there will be huge players who enter the scene, but it's all going to be in the medical side, right? The non-medical side will continue to be what it is.
Yeah. Do you think this will have a meaningful effect on the activities day to day at agencies like the DEA? Will they be focused more on drugs that are more harmful, fentanyl mm-hmm. and whatnot?
I would just, the best case is hopefully they already are, right?
I feel like they've shifted over the last decade quite a bit. And there's been such a pushback too against these like crazy sentences for weed possession. I feel like I don't see that type of stuff anymore.
Most states have really reformed those laws already, especially once they do medicalization or legalization. So you're still in that position of like that federal versus state power and how that plays out. There'll be less case for federal laws on that. Although if you're a cartel member moving illegal weed that hasn't paid the taxes, hasn't done followed the laws, you'll still be able to prosecute those folks.
Yeah, do you think this will have a meaningful impact on cartel activity?
To the degree that cartels are still in the market, and they are. I mean, like that's at least according to my buddy who does this. There are a substantial player in his market.
Well, the I know we've referenced this before on the show, but Tucker's it's not Tucker's documentary, but a documentary that's been hosted on Tucker's network talking about the illegal Chinese cannabis market in Maine, specifically rural Maine. I imagine it could have a very positive impact on that community because they're coming in, renting or buying up these properties, completely trashing them on the inside. People are, there's maybe 20 people living inside of one of these grow operations, selling it for very cheap, undercutting the local players who are playing by the rules, paying their taxes, going through all the regulatory frameworks, and they are plentiful, forcing them out of business in many cases, and using inputs in their process that are completely illegal to use in the United States, pesticides, herbicides, things to, you know, treat the plants so that they can get a better yield, but doing so at the great expense of the end consumer. So it seems like maybe something like this could do a lot to increase the quality of the product that people are buying in the US.
Yeah, and I wouldn't anticipate the social conservatives actually using that, like actually seeing that. And what they'll probably say, I predict this, is they'll probably say, well, but there'll still be illegal weed. The question is, will there be less of it? And I would anticipate probably yes.
Yeah. I would anticipate that too.
Yeah, because you've reduced the regulatory costs for all the other things.
Yeah.
And of course, Iron Mike Tyson is in favor of this move.
Thank you, POTUS, real Donald Trump.
You got to read in his voice.
Thank you, POTUS, real Donald Trump, for rescheduling cannabis. This decision reflects listening to the people across the country and taking a practical step towards modernizing outdated policies. It supports American workers, families, and businesses, and allows over 500,000 existing jobs to finally be counted.
You sound like Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, I know.
That was pretty good.
I did my best.
It was good. But I didn't even like, hey, you got to work on your Mike Tyson accent before the...
We just had to read it in the voice. That's all we had to do. You guys can tell me how bad my Mike Tyson is in the
it's
comments.
It's pretty good. It's pretty decent.
Rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 in the comments.
I've heard worse.
I'm sure there are
Call
many
gay
worse.
And retarded.
Yeah, on a scale of gator retarded, how bad was my Mike Tyson accent?
So, and this is like part of Mike Tyson's.
I just saw the same thing, Bennett.
I read this in your voice.
I was just about to point that out.
So, I'm a fan of Mike Tyson. I've watched a lot of his fights. I don't watch a lot of boxing, but if I'm going to watch boxing, I like watching his peekaboo style and everything that Mike Tyson does. And, you know, if you watch his later interviews in life, like when he kind of came back into the main, started doing podcast circuit and stuff like that, he had really interesting things to say about its effect on him, on managing his like perpetual constant from childhood anxiety and managing pain, of course, and other things that come from being a fighter. And, you know, it's... You know, people tell these stories about how they safely use it and do their own thing with it and they have a successful life with it. Although it does always has its downsides. I really, you know, and people can get tempted into abuse. But man, it's a real it's to see a guy who literally came from nothing, fought all the way through the boxing circuit from the very bottom to the very top, and then, you know, and then the fact that he did that while consuming cannabis as an illegal drug the whole time, I think is a compelling case for like, hey, this isn't just a negative thing, terrible for society, right? It's something that one of our best was using the whole time. And you can look at other people. Arnold Schwarzenegger also used cannabis, right? Tremendous work ethic.
Interesting.
You know?
Didn't know that.
But yeah, you can find it in the old Arnold Schwarzenegger pumping iron videos. Is he's like on a couch and just like helps me relax a little, and he's like I mean, and that you use it for recovery. Should you? I don't know. Let's study it.
Not a doctor.
Let's find out. Not a doctor. I don't
do
know.
Your own research.
But he did. He did. One of the most successful Olympians of all time did. You know, one of the most successful actors of all time did. So, like,
governor.
Yeah, a governor. Yeah, everything else. So how could you not? Like, how could you just say, oh, it's just only used by losers? Mike Tyson did. Call him a loser to his face, please.
Yeah, Kyle. Call Mike Tyson a loser to his face.
I'm not saying. Dude, I know you're not. I think some people do well. I think the overuse of it is what I'm saying. Is like a lot of people just get into that vegetable state where it's like, oh, yeah. Like it's like a worship of weed. And it's just like, that's what's gross to me. Is there's like a worship of it. And you're like, ugh. Like this is your highest ideal pot.
Dependency.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there's like an addictive psychological quality that I worry about with a lot of people. Sure. And I've seen it just like, I've seen a lot of people's lives be ruined by it. Like that's the thing. Like I think recreational, like kind of controlling yourself, I think you should control yourself with all sorts of things. You should control yourself with food, right?
Your phone.
It's not, yeah. Your phone.
It's time for Joe's mental health corner.
Touch some grass.
Touch some fucking grass. Thanks for watching Joe's Mental Health Corner.
Two episodes in. We got it. Yeah. It's a thing now. It's a thing.
Smoke some grass. This is our new segment.
Touch grass. Wait, don't smoke it.
We got to get some nice music on the soundboard, Bennett, for this new segment.
I kind of like an elevator music theme. Like,
yes. Dun, some whimsical elevator music.
Yeah, no, my issue is I've seen a lot of people that it's just like, weed's not addictive. And I was like, bro, you're addicted. Yeah. Like, it's that type of thing that I'm always just like.
If you have to say people, I'm not addicted, chances are you are.
Yeah, no, it's like antsiness. Like, I need the fix. I need the fix. Like, there is that you see in people with it.
Yeah. For sure.
And I think there's like a, with drugs, I think there's like a little keep it sacred type of thing. Like, be careful. Be cautious, you know?
Yeah. It's fair. Food and coffee. So,
yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, right? I'm calling out everyone's sacred cows. The other one, sacred cow, is the Second Amendment.
Oh, hell
yeah. Gun Owners of America put out this little breaking press release tweet about the implications of the new scheduling.
President Trump just ordered that marijuana be reclassified from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. GOA is calling on ATF to cease treating Americans who are prescribed marijuana as unlawful users of controlled substances and federally prohibited from possessing firearms.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one. And I've seen a couple different tweets from people about this practice from the ATF of taking away people's Second Amendment rights because they are legally using a drug, according to the 10th Amendment, in their state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then additionally, this is a huge variable for veterans. A lot of veterans will no longer get access to their medical benefits if they use marijuana or are allowed to possess firearms if they use marijuana. And this should be able to level out that for those folks, which, I mean, like I said, I've seen a lot of veterans on disability who use marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another one is Trump a hypocrite. I thought this was an interesting one. I found this a little bit later, Joe Kyle. Sorry, so it's in the notes, buddy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, he tells his kids they not do drugs, but now he's telling America to smoke marijuana, Joe.
How dare he tell people that they can make their own choices in life?
Yeah, I don't know who Nick Niferatos?
Luke Niferatos. Luke Niferatos.
Luke Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Luke yeah. On drug Nostradamus.
Policy. Ah. Yeah,
a Broncos fan. Fuck him.
True.
He also likes Lord of the Rings, though. He's redeeming qualities. All right,
I'll give him 3 out of 10. What rank is Luke Niferatos in the comments on a scale of gay to retarded.
Hey, I like the Broncos. Okay. Yeah,
well, fuck you.
But I'm also anti-weed, so it makes sense. I'm kidding.
This in the state that legalized
in
it
Colorado.
So what he posted here is this video from December 16th of a montage of Trump telling kids not to do drugs.
How dare he?
You are considering an executive order to reclassify marijuana under the control.
We are considering that. Goodbye. I want all A's.
Okay.
No drugs, no alcohol, no cigarettes. Don't take drugs, okay? Raise your hand. What people ask, what do I tell? I said to my kids, no drugs, no alcohol, no cigarettes. Raise your hands, kids. I promise Donald J. Trump. That I will never take drugs.
I will never take drugs.
All right, kids, come here.
Okay. Yeah.
right.
I don't find that hypocritical at all. This is so dumb.
Kyle, you have two thoughts in your head at the same time, Kyle.
You can't say that wasn't gay.
What?
Trump making kids promise not to do drugs?
I would tell my kids not to do drugs.
No, I mean the ad. this
line of attack is really gay.
Yeah, I agree.
I think both sides of any argument can be gay, also, for sure.
Drugs is much more wide ranging than just marijuana.
Oh, true. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think Trump
don't do cocaine, don't do meth. You know,
yeah. it goes a long way. If Trump was very unfortunately, looking at his son, let's say, dying of pancreatic cancer, would he still say, Barron, don't do drugs? Don't take cannabis to ease your pain while you suffer with this terminal illness? I doubt it.
I'm sure just like any other medical treatment to those things, that it would be that way. And that's what he's opening up. He's not telling kids to do drugs. He's saying, if you have a medical necessity, here's an option for you.
Yeah.
That's all the policy does.
Trump did sign the executive order of right to try too, right? You know, which is kind of a similar argument.
Well, he signed the legislation that passed overwhelmingly through Congress.
Yeah, you're right. Legislation was an executive order.
Yeah,
right?
I'm only making the point. Like, that's a really big freaking deal. And so like this whole idea of bodily autonomy is in this tension with state authority and our habits of trying to maintain a particular culture and mitigate the downsides. I'm trying to steel man Luke's point of view here, maybe, is in tension with each other. That really comes to most sharpest distinction when we look at people who are dealing with a disease or dealing with pain or psychological pain.
For sure.
Yeah, physical pain or psychological.
Well, and I wonder what Luke's other views on bodily autonomy are. Mm. What does his tweet record say about his views on vaccine mandates or something else? You know, like,
don't know.
I'm not going to speculate on a guy I don't know.
I mean, we can search it right here.
I'm not going to start attacking some guy I don't know.
No, we should. I'm kidding.
I don't know why, because I'm an idiot. But his alum, he says John Hopkins, and I think of Step Brothers, where Will Ferrell's like,
I smoked pot with Johnny Hopkins.
I was like, that's ironic.
That is.
All right. I got nothing for vaccines. Searching. Doing advanced search on him.
Looks like he's kind of a one issue guy here.
Well, I think the organization is like about responsible use of marijuana or something, right?
Well, look, I think to maybe give Luke some credit here in a backward sort of way, rescheduling, if it produces good, reliable research, could prove his position that it's not good. But that's the point, is if you can't research it, then you don't know actually if all of the negativity that you're hearing about it in the reefer madness types, maybe from his side of this point of view, is true or not. So if we're open to the scientific process, if we trust the science in its true sense, then we will find out. Who is it beneficial for? Like you said, what are the trade-offs? Who should be using it? Who shouldn't be?
That's actually my opinion on all drugs, is all drugs should be able to undergo research. Like, we shouldn't have these restrictions on researching of any drugs. Like, I would say that about literally any drug. I think that
for sure, because there's probably some benefit to pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm. I would also still tell kids to not do drugs.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, you could say I'm pro science. I would like to see research on all these drugs.
Like I feel like Trump can do both. Like, he can legalize marijuana and still be like, don't do drugs until you're an adult or something.
Yeah, Trump's got interesting drug stories, because he's been sober of like all drugs because of his brother, who was extremely addicted to drugs, told him don't do drugs. and he took that to heart for a long time, apparently. Like, that's still the story.
Does. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing I appreciate him. At least he's consistent. It's the people who are like, don't ever touch marijuana, and then they're pounding beers and whatnot. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Or addicted to caffeine or all these other things. And lastly, it wouldn't be a podcast of Human Reaction if we didn't, you know, talk about Matt Walsh and dogging on libertarians. His thoughts about this particular implication. So Michael Heiss had the original tweet here. We could read that, then get to Matt Walsh's.
Sure. Michael Heiss writes, the quote, weed should be, the quote, weed should be illegal because it smells, quote, end quote, people crack me up. The entire city of New York smells like garbage. New Orleans smells like piss. Hell, pretty much any rural area in the country smells like manure at certain points of the season. Deal with it.
That is a fair point. Cities do stink.
That's a very fair point. And Matt Walsh replies to Michael Heiss, libertarians will claim that their favorite vices don't affect you, and so you shouldn't care. Then when you start listing the many obvious ways that you are affected, like the fact that it makes your community disgusting and everything smells like shit, their answer is just deal with it. Well, which is, you'll notice, a very different argument. There's a reason they don't lead with it.
Well, his argument is that there are many things that have third-party effects whenever you have large, like, people who live in the same community together.
Yeah.
We select out weed specifically as a reason why it should be illegal, despite all the consequences and costs to it.
Sure.
Right? And that's, refining the argument, obviously, is, well, if you're saying you just don't like it, that might be an insufficient reason to ban it and to encourage the black market.
By this argument, you should ban sriracha. Because do you remember the stories around the sriracha factory in, I believe it was, Southern California?
No.
Off-putting so much odor and spicy aroma and smell that it was causing neighbors to, like, constantly have running noses and watering eyes.
Oh, really?
Because it was off-gassing all the byproducts of creating hot sauce.
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe it's a zoning issue. Maybe the factory should move.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can do some very basic local government rules on third-party impact. This is actually handled very well through regular property right and tort. There's lots of ways to negotiate these questions in civil society. We don't need to criminalize it in order to make it happen.
Yeah.
Is a part of the point. And there are conservative solutions to this problem that have existed for a very long time. Mills smell. Have you ever been near a paper mill?
Yeah, Tacoma.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. All kinds of things have smell impacts on their neighbors, right? So, but we deal with that for the trade-offs and for the reasons, and then all we also deal with it by government mechanisms and private sector mechanisms.
Sure. Or you just get used to it. Apparently, the people in Tacoma don't even smell anymore.
Yeah. Go to Laurel, Montana. You see the same thing.
Yeah.
You just stop there. Woo.
Man. It is but gross.
Talk to people from there, they don't even notice it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like, and this is the argument. Like, the libertarians have won, right? With this rescheduling in a major way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't save it, but Angela McArdle, she really claimed some credit for this, that this is one of the things that she brought up to Trump to keep the libertarian vote. He needs wins for at least some of his coalition right now. So, and
how does this weigh on the scale for Trump with a voter like you? A libertarian-minded conservative. I don't want to pigeonhole you or label you, but how does this work for you on his record?
Well, I see all these ideas as tools in a toolbox that are important for, like, human flourishing, right? I don't have to be part of a label to do that. When I think about this is, this has great potential upsides for mitigating a lot of potential losses for the social order. So I see it as very important and a good thing. And at anything, it's a goddamn win in something, right? Like, moving something substantial forward. It's not like a EA that's just like, I don't, like, trans people are out now, that's not really that substantial or going to change anything. This will have substantial effects on major parts of the economy and people's lives and mitigating the unintended consequences of the Schedule 1 designation.
Yeah.
So, like, to the degree that actually is accomplishing something with an EA is a pretty big deal, if you ask me.
I think we should include cannabis in the CPI. That way we could maybe offset some of those inflation numbers because the costs are going to come down substantially, right? So maybe this could weigh in, for the Trump, Trump exactly. economic numbers.
Yeah, well, I imagine it will. Like, it's also going to be a legal tax base and things like that. All those are going to be.
Are we going to be getting a weed dividend after this?
Weed dividend.
Don't give the stoners free money.
Look, they're just going to stimulate the economy with it. It's fine. Just going to go buy more weed. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, they just, the self-licking ice cream cone of the weed industry.
The self-smoking joint, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, I want to hear what you guys at home think. You got to let us know in the comments. Are you for this? Do you think it's a good thing? You think it's a bad thing? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, like, there are good faith arguments on both sides of on this issue, and I really want to hear it from our audience. I don't know where people are going to come down. We have more conservative part of the audience, more libertarian parts of the audience. We kind of run all over the spectrum. Yeah. So we really want to know what you think.
Yes. And if you think there's somebody in particular that we should interview, have on the show to talk about this, or someone we should reach out to learn more about this topic, because obviously we're all coming from our sort of insular worldviews on this thing, let us know as well. We're looking to book up 2026 with some interesting interviews that you guys want to hear. So please do give us some ideas.
Cool.
Guys, thanks so much for watching. Once again, for David Rand, for Kyle Mack, and for Bennett, I'm Joe Sheehan. This is Human Reaction. Join the Discord. Links below. We'll continue the conversation there. See you next time.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com.